Appreciate the Lord and all that He means to me. It's wonderful to get to serve Him. I have heard this fallacy a lot, and I'd like to denounce it. The Lord, by His mercy and wisdom and the message that He's given. So I'd like to write two words on the board. Judas and Jesus. I've written on the board, Judas and Jesus. Do we judge by Judas or by Jesus? Well, that's kind of foolish to think of anything but judging the world by Jesus, because He is the one that will be our judge. But we have a spirit of suspicion, I guess, that has always been, but it seems to be still effective today. And so I'll ask you if you've ever heard, I don't go to church anymore because there's too many hypocrites. Has anybody ever heard that one? Or another one is, I don't need to be saved because I live better than the congregation, most of the people in congregation anyway. Have you heard that one? Those are both lies. And I wanted to explain to you why that is so. So I'd like to start out with Matthew, the 10th chapter. And the first verse. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, so just stop just for a minute. Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him. Did the Lord choose Judas? No, because He knew He would betray Him. He chose Judas because he was one of the disciples. He was endued with power from Jesus Christ as one of the disciples. He at this point had not made that decision. That is how he is characterized. But the Lord had a heart for Judas. The Lord had a mercy for Judas. Judas was at this point a righteous man. And I look at that and I think the kindness and the love that the Lord had for Judas, even though he knew that there were going to be places in Judas's life that was going to supplant him and carry him away from the gospel. But at this point, he did not choose Judas the betrayer. He chose Judas the saint. Judas the child of God. Judas the disciple. And I appreciate that. I'm glad for that. And he gave them, he said, he didn't just say everyone but Judas, because I know what Judas is going to do. He also knew that Judas could choose right. Judas could choose righteousness. Judas could. But at the event of the writing of the scriptures, all those things had been carried out. So thus they describe him as Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. But at this point, that was not Judas. So he had the work of a disciple. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He gave the charge to all of them. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. I love that. But it didn't take long for things to unfold in a very different pattern for Judas's life. So if you will join with me in John, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. It starts to unfold a very different Judas. But Jesus had a love for Judas, okay? But we are getting ready to see that he is indeed a hypocrite. So, this is becoming a problem here. John, the 12th chapter, And the first verse, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. We already see that Satan has already tempted him in the ways of riches. I can't imagine there was much in the bag anyway, but somehow Judas felt responsible as though it were his own, not freely given, freely received. So thus he became greedy with it, and he said, why was this not sold for the poor? And yet he didn't even care about the poor. All he cared about was the money. So we are starting to see a hypocrite among Jesus' 12 disciples. So I'm going to ask you at this point, do we renounce all the gospel because Judas was a hypocrite? Did that make the gospel of none effect? Absolutely not. But there are people who want you to make you feel that way. So we'll go on to the 13th chapter in the second verse. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And I think of that little pattern. It started out with his own lust, his own greed, his own desires for the bag. And then it also, he's opened himself up to the devil. So the devil starts putting things in his mind now. And then if you'll go with me to the 26th verse, it's a step further. Then Jesus answered, he it is to whom I have given a sop. I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So first we had his own lustful desires, then devil presenting mindful thoughts, and then Satan enters. So we have a true hypocrite at this point. And he was one of the 12. Did that make the feet washing that Jesus was performing there as a servant? He laid aside his majesty to do this. Did that make it of none effect? No. Did it make the partaking of the wine and the bread of none effect? No. But the world, or those who seek after these excuses, will want you to think that because there are hypocrites around, there is no gospel. And that's a lie. That is a lie. So do you judge the world by Judas or by Jesus? I have found that the flimsiness of this excuse, when those compare themselves among themselves and say, you know, I don't need this salvation because I live better than most of them in that congregation anyway, they never compare themselves to someone who's deeply spiritual. You notice that? So the ones that they're calling out as hypocrites truly are probably living on the edges. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus had a heart for Judas. Jesus loved Judas. And even though Peter himself betrayed Christ, Peter wept bitterly, and Judas ended in a very tragic way. But I really feel like Judas had the same chance as Peter, because Christ loved them all. And if you could shut the doors to every hypocrite that would ever come among us, they would never have a chance to learn of the gospel. They would never have a chance for Jesus to break the chains that could be heard maybe through a message or testimony or a song. And I look at that, and you can't judge the gospel by the hypocrites. You've got to get past people. And I think that sometimes we get too involved with looking around at those that we are among, and we become a suspicious sort of creature that we don't realize there's a wholesomeness and a blessedness to the gospel, and that we need to raise our vision a little higher. So in Matthew, the 24th chapter, this is when Jesus was here. Jesus gave this warning, and he said, 24th chapter of Matthew, in the 24th verse, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." In other words, they will be right among us. But be wise in that. Be careful in that. In the 10th verse, it says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But," and these are his words of encouragement, "he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." The Lord knew people are just going to be people. You are going to have people on a journey that are completely deceitful. They have a quote-unquote testimony, but their lives are atrocious. There's always been people like that. But that's not to discount those who have a testimony of righteousness before the Lord. That doesn't betray the fact that the gospel is still a wonderful, life-changing message. And I'm thankful for that. So in Acts, the 17th chapter, it tells us that ingredient. In the 31st verse, this is Acts 17 and 31. This is when Paul was on Mars Hill and he was expounding to them what the unknown God was. And he said, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, even when you see those do it falsely. Even when you see people as hypocrites, don't judge the world by Judas. Judge them by Jesus Christ. Judge your own self by Jesus Christ. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Many times people, that is what people judge by. They're going to judge by how much better I am than Judas. But how are you doing compared to Christ? How are you doing in that challenge of how do I handle myself in a godly manner? Or do I handle myself in a godly manner? Or am I so pulled down by what I see others doing that I become a little discouraged because I don't feel like they're doing it all right? And somehow I'm better than they are. How are you comparing to Christ? "Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." I would like for us to take the example of Zacchaeus. Luke, the 19th chapter, in the first verse. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." I think the proper saying is Zacchaeus. But as a child, I only learned Zacchaeus, so I'm sorry. I'm going to mispronounce it tonight. "And Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." He did not claim salvation, so he's not even a hypocrite. He's just a downright sinner. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." And I'm imagining this in my mind. He could not see Jesus for the people. And you know, sometimes people can't see Jesus because all they can see is people. But Zacchaeus had a solution to this, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And I want to encourage us spiritually to climb a sycamore tree, to get your vision above the people. There are times that there are going to be people who don't do right. And they might be right among us. But don't let that be your defeat. Climb a sycamore tree. Raise your vision a little higher so that you can see Jesus, because that's who's going to judge the world. That's the one that you're going to have to live by. His commandments, not other people's, not those who seem to be doing right, and I just see so many glaring things in their lives. Zacchaeus needed Jesus, and he knew the only way he was going to get to see him was to be able to see above the people. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Perfect heart response to Jesus. Oh, that we may too climb down and receive him joyfully into our own hearts. I've looked at this, and there's a song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully into his fair face, or something like that. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I've thought about that a lot because many times we are going to be distracted by what others are doing around us. But we're going to have to get over that. We're going to have to rise above that. We're going to have to raise our vision to the one who will judge us. He is our Savior now, but he will judge us in the end. And we want to have the blood of Christ abide applied to our lives so that we may spend eternity with him. I desire that you pray for me. May the Lord bless you, each one, to lift your eyes.